Yes. So I need to start again. Okay. So today I'm going to start a series on speaking the word and have the importance of it. I did a series on faith. I'm getting this for the recording. I did a series on faith, and you can have faith, but if you're not speaking truth, if your words aren't lined up with your faith, then you'll undermine everything that God's trying to do in your life. So we're going to spend a little while just talking about the importance of what we speak, and because that's really important. So we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture here, but Isaiah 55, we're going to start in verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So right here, he's talking about what? The fact that the world can't satisfy. The world cannot satisfy. What satisfies is the wine and milk that we purchase without money and without price, which is from Christ. It's from God, right? That's what satisfies us. Verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. It's so important for us to understand that we all listen to God. It is not the role of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It is the role of every single believer to have a relationship with God and be able to hear him. That is what he designed all of us for. Amen? And we all have the privilege of having a relationship with him and hearing him. So listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and that word isn't the logos word, it's the rhema word, it's the word spoken, it's the word that you get when you have your private time with the Lord, when he speaks to you. And if certainly he can speak to you through here too, but he quickens it. This is why it's so important for us to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that opens the scripture up to you, to all of us. So, and let our souls delight ourselves in abundance. You know, he gives us abundance. He nourishes us. He cherishes us. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. Hear and your soul shall live. This is how we're sustained, by hearing him. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Now, in these next two verses, he's going to be talking about Jesus Christ. Indeed, I have given him, Jesus, as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So that's referring to Jesus. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This is advice for every single one of us, right? We are in a time of grace, right? Where where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So God is so present in this time. He's pouring his spirit out on all flesh. He is here. And so we need to seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, I want to just take a minute. Way, the word way means, I have it here, a road, a course of life, or mode of action. So the wicked shall forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's talking about the intentions or plans, a mental process whereby some course is planned or conceived. So he's saying the unregenerate man, let him forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Here's what I wanted to get to. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So again, the word he's speaking about is the spoken word, the rhema word that goes forth from his mouth. It should not return to him void. That means empty or vacuity. It means it won't return having not accomplished what it's supposed to. It shall accomplish what I please. This word accomplish means to do or make in the widest application. And I'm going to go to Genesis in a little bit because it's the same word that is used in Genesis for when God made things. That was the same word there. Accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing which I sent it. Now, I just want to say something, that God's word, like he says, his word will not return to him void. And that's, you know, and we're talking about the plan of salvation. You know, someone once described it to me, I thought was really good, that, you know, when we talk about God's sovereignty, it's like a cruise ship, right? And a cruise ship is going to go from destination A to destination Z, right? It's gonna make its trip. And that's God's sovereignty. Like his plan of salvation, like Jesus coming was established before the foundations of the world. No one could stop that. Like all of his plans in the creation of mankind, the salvation of mankind, the redemption of mankind, the new creation, like his word will not return to him void. It will accomplish that which he has done. But we need to understand that how you live in the cruise ship is totally your choice. Right? So God gives you promises, right? And his promises are powerful. But if we don't appropriate them, it leaves them powerless in our lives. It's not that his word isn't powerful. It's not that he doesn't want us to walk in the fullness of what he's done. But we have to cooperate with him for those things to come into pass. Now, we're not going to stop the plan of salvation. But we can stop the full working of God in our lives by not cooperating with his word. Amen. And it's not that his word isn't powerful. It's just that we chose not to participate with it. Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And that's basically talking about the redemption of mankind, the curse will be gone, and God's fullness will be manifest on the earth. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I think I am going to sit down. Can I grab this chair? I'm a little bit challenged today, so I'm going to sit down and teach. Is that okay? Okay, so Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this word create is different than the word made. And it says to form or fashion, to produce, to create. Originally, this verb carried the idea of carving or cutting out. This suggests that creating is similar to sculpturing. Thus, this word is a fitting word to describe both creating by bringing into existence and creating by fashioning existing matter into something new, as God did in creating man, out of dust from the ground. God is always the subject of the verb. This verb, in its standard form, creating is therefore a divine capacity. Excuse me. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So it's talking about the earth was kind of in a chaotic state in the beginning. And we have the Holy Spirit that's hovering over the waters. Now we need to see that all three are present. Father is speaking. Jesus is the word that's coming forth. And the Holy Spirit is there hovering over the waters to bring to pass what's being said. So all three are present in the creation. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, when you talk about calling something, giving it a name, implied in that in Jewish tradition was you then had authority over it. So in God calling day and night, he basically was saying he had authority over day and night. Now, we can see this play out, right? Because who did he give authority to speak, to name the animals? us. But he created day and night, and he's the one who named them. Therefore, God retained authority over day and night. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Then God made, that's that word accomplished that we talked about in Isaiah 55, the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. So God has, because God called heaven, he has authority over heaven, right? Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. So again, he's got authority over these things because he's the one naming them. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit trees that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Now this is amazing because this principle that God has put into place for these seeds to harvest and re-seed themselves and all that is still, because he spoke this into existence, it's still operating today. Amen. That's the power of his word, because he decreed that that's what was to happen. And what I want us to look at here is what we're looking at is the fact that this is how God created everything. Right? He created and he spoke. He created, he spoke. He took authority over things. I think verse 13, right? So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, now right here, it doesn't say that he called them anything. Okay? So, and there really is no specification in scripture that I know of that really says who has dominion over the plants. I mean, I think it's mankind, but he doesn't really specifically say that anywhere, because here, no one's calling it. No one's naming it. He didn't give it to man, and he didn't take it himself. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but in Genesis, when he said, let there be light, and there was light in Genesis 1:3, we don't have to go back there, and he called light day and darkness night, the stars and the sun weren't created yet. I thought that was so interesting. The stars and sun weren't created. They weren't created until here. He created the lights in the firmament, verse 14, of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which would be the sun, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Again, here, he's not using anything to call out like the stars and the planets, but if we know in Psalm 147, he says that he's the one who names all the celestial planets and everything. So we know what? He named them, therefore he has authority over them, right? Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Again, this principle is still working. And fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So one of my points in all this, I mean, I know we've read the Genesis story before, but we need to understand that this is how God created everything. You know, there's people who've tried to integrate Darwinism into the Bible. Like, it was created in 6 days, and God rested on the seventh day, right? I mean, and we need to understand, if he spoke everything to existence, the power, because we're created in his image and likeness, what's the power that we have in our mouths when we speak? God spoke. And when God spoke, things happened. And the things that he spoke are still unfolding in the earth today. Amen. Then God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them, so this is where he gives the whole naming thing, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So this was really, when I studied this out, this was really something, because I've always heard that we had authority over the whole earth. And really what this is saying, we have authority over creation, over like the animals and things like that. But God has authority over, you know, the firmament, he has authority over the heavens, he has authority over all those things, because he's the one who named them. And by naming them, they're his. That he has dominion over them. So this just really clarified things to me. And then it just made me think, and I don't have an answer for this, but when Jesus walked on water, and like when he said, be still to the storms, like I don't know that we as people had authority over that. Jesus did because he was God, but what I'm saying is before Jesus, like, did mankind really have authority over storms, right? Because we were given authority over animals. Now, I mean, now in Christ we have authority over those things, but I don't believe we had authority before Christ over those things. And that's why it was so amazing to them when he just said, you know, cease, be still, calm the storms, all that other stuff, because that was a whole new concept, right? Because I don't believe man had authority over those things. Let's see here. So verse 29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. So I really hate to tell you all this, but we were originally created to be vegetarians. I am really sorry, Tuffy. I am really sorry. Eating meat came in after the fall. I'm sorry. Then, but what God has cleansed, don't call common, right? Right? That's what Tuffy's standing on. That's his scripture. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, we know that what? God rested on the seventh day. We know that Adam and Eve were tempted by what? They were tempted by words, right? Satan came to them and came against God's word. And so the power of words is just, I don't think we can stress it enough. The power that words have in influencing our lives. And this is one of the reasons, like, even, you know, watching TV, we just need to be careful what avenues we're allowing to come into our eye gates, ear gates, all that other stuff, because all of it has, if we're giving it a say, it has an influence on us. It has an influence because words are powerful. And we were created by God speaking. And Adam and Eve, of course, were tempted by the enemy and by his words, and they were deceived, and then they evaluated the tree of the knowledge of good and evil based on what he said instead of what God said. Again, it's all about words. So we can't evaluate things. They did it based on natural reasoning and not spiritual reasoning. Okay? So the other thing that I notice is that when God speaks things into existence, to him, it's like a covenant. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8. So Genesis chapter 8, we'll start in verse 21. This is just after the flood, right? And Noah does an offering to the Lord. He built an altar and he did an offering to the Lord. And it says verse 21, the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So when God speaks, when he puts those things into motion, it's a covenant with him. He's not going to back off on that. When he puts that into motion by speaking it, he considers it a covenant. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 33. This is another good example. Jeremiah chapter 33. We'll start in verse 19. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night. So when he called the day day and when he called the night night, that was a covenant to him. That was a promise. He spoke that and he's not going to back off on that. And he says, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. So what I see is the importance of what happens when God speaks. You know, it says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Right? When God says something, we can 100% stand on him. His word is something we can always, always count on. He is not going to pull that word out. He's not going to change his mind. And that's the power of what God speaks. What's the power of what we speak? Right? Because we're made in his image and likeness. And so the power, so what we when we speak, it should be the same thing. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. What we speak should be something that people can stand on because we're made in God's image and likeness, right? And so our words should be the same thing. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This word, the words were framed, it means to render fit or complete. It signifies right ordering and arrangement. So the worlds were framed by the word of God. See, his ways are so much higher than our ways. We think what we say doesn't matter. But what we say matters. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. He understands the power of what he speaks. He understands the importance of being committed to what you say. He understands the power of a covenant. And so we sometimes think in the natural that what we're saying doesn't really matter, but it does. And he shows us that. He's not a man that he should lie. The worlds were framed by so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He had in his imagination what man was going to look like. And if you think about it, you know, I've talked about this before, but he takes dirt, he forms it into a man, and then he blows into it, and all of a sudden there's veins, capillaries, muscles, bones, eyeballs, eyebrows, hair, and everything. I mean, just the power of his breath and his imagination and him having this will and putting it forth and brings forth this very complicated creation that man is still trying to figure out how it operates. Right? That's amazing. That's the power of our God. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. I want to pause there for a minute, because we need to understand that, like, in the Jewish tradition, they would speak the Torah, right? They would speak it out a lot. And that was the power, again, of God's word. The prophets would get a word from God, and they would speak it out, and that was all a part of God bringing the plan of salvation out, was to have men and women speaking his word. So we were an integral part of bringing the salvation to pass, mankind was, because he needed people on the earth who had dominion and authority to be speaking what he said so that he could bring his plans to pass. And this is the role that the prophets played, is speaking the word. If you look at Isaiah, right? Isaiah 53, talking about what the Messiah was going to do. Well, generation after generation after generation of the Jews had spoken that out. And we're a part of bringing those plans to pass. And so for us, it's the same thing about speaking the word of God. So various times in various ways spoken time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus was the picture of God, right? Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The word of his power. Again, that's rhema. That's the rhema word. And that word power is dunamis power. And that means that's the power. Dunamis almost always points to the new and higher forces that have entered and are working in this lower world of ours. So Jesus, this thing was spoken into existence, and it's held together by the word of his dunamis power, is how all of this continues to unfold. This is how everything still exists. Or we're still in the grace of God that it still exists, why his what he's spoken as far as, you know, seed time and harvest and all those things is all because he spoke it, and it's all held together by the dunamis power of his word. That's powerful. The word is in us, absolutely. And so this is how he continues to hold all things together by the word of his power. This is why agreeing with and speaking his word is so important and powerful. It is so important for us to come into alignment with speaking his word, because his word is truth. He is truth. And so getting the word in us and then speaking the word becomes a really important part of our walk with the Lord, and our walk in faith is knowing his word. Remember, Jesus was the Word made flesh, and we can be the Word made flesh. If we just surrender ourselves to the Word, we become the Word made flesh as well. That's not just for him. It can be for us as well if we're willing to surrender to that Word. And that's what he asks us to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have Christ. Right. Amen. Amen? We have the mind of Christ. My point in this is just that we, again, in the natural man thinks that what we say doesn't matter. The natural man doesn't realize the power of words. And his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And so we need to understand that he's created us to speak the word. He's created us to become the word, to have the word living inside of us, and for us to be vehicles for the word. And so our journey in renewing our minds to the truth of His Word and allowing that to become, you know, integrated into us is such a big part of our journey with Him. And then speaking the truth that He reveals to us out loud, confessing those. You know, when we were challenged this past week with some health issues, I had my little book of confessions. I'm speaking them out, and I'm speaking them out, and I'm speaking them out. I'm like, this is truth. And, you know, you can feel like your spirit just really agreeing with it. The flesh is a little cranky, but you can feel your spirit knowing that this is truth, right? And stuff would lift. But that's the importance of us knowing the truth of His Word and the power of His Word. Because that's what we stand on in challenging times and whatever we're walking through. And this also is how we can walk in our identity. Because God says, like what Pastor Jeremy was talking about last week, you know, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to confess the word, not just about circumstances, but about who we are. Because the power of who we are is the covenant He made with Jesus to bring us into the kingdom of God and make us new creations and make us children of God and make us righteous and holy, right? That's what He did. And so we need to confess that and agree with that in what we in our lives. If we're undermining that, if we're putting ourselves down, if we're speaking negativity, then we're coming out of alignment with God. And again, there's power in our words. There's power. Because we're like God and His word is powerful. Amen? So it's important for us to understand the word. I'm going to end here. I just wanted to today just really focus on God. I'm making up for it being long last week. So, because I really felt like the Lord just wanted me to spend this first time just talking about God when it comes to His power and speaking. Next week I'm going to talk about Jesus, but just God Almighty, when He created, we're made in His image and likeness, and He spoke everything into existence. When He spoke, it was a covenant. We are still being sustained by the words that He spoke thousands of years ago, are still sustaining us. And we need to understand, like I said, His ways are higher than ours, His thoughts are higher than ours, and so we need to take seriously what we speak. Amen. What we speak. Yes. Right? Because we have the mind of Christ. We need to take seriously what we're saying, because there's fruit of that, and we're gonna look at that in the weeks to come. Amen. So Lord, I just thank You so much for Your word. I thank You so much for Your presence. I thank You so much for sustaining us all, Lord. You are such a good God. You are such a good God. Lord, help us to open our eyes and ears and mouths to know Your word and to speak Your word, Lord, to come into agreement with what You say, because You're the creator of all. We just love You, Lord. We honor You. I just speak, Lord, that all this be sealed in each one of our hearts, and then as we come through this next week, that You reveal even greater things to us. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.